Welcome to part three of our series, Be Strong. And I just want to highlight a couple things there in those in the Cross Point news. And the first being the 21 days of prayer. What day are we on, everybody? Day 15 of 21 days. So if you haven't joined us in this 21 days of prayer and fasting, we encourage you to do so. It doesn't matter about if you missed the last couple of weeks. Come on, you could start today. And just go through the end of this week. We'll have a climatic time this coming Saturday. Hope that you'll be able to be with us at 10 a.m. here live at the church for a conclusion. It's going to be awesome. And also, if you're not able to physically get here or haven't been able to get here physically, I encourage you daily go online. Go to crosspointworshipcenter.com. You saw it on our news. And be sure and connect with that. I mean, it's like having a revival of 3 weeks when you're just getting fed every day and gleaning from that. It's archived. If you can't do it early in the morning, do it sometime during the day, midnight. It doesn't matter, but get connected, and you're going to get fed every day. Anybody been connecting with that? It's just awesome, awesome. Yesterday, we heard about there was a different word for each day. Yesterday was the word was blessing. What a great time. And Fired Up Friday. Did anybody like Fired Up Friday with Dino Rizzo? Wasn't that awesome? But I just want to encourage you, if you're not doing this, go and connect. And there's also prayer resources on there that you can use. It's just going to really help you, encourage you. Another thing that's going to help you around here, not to retell all the news, but I just want to highlight these two. And the second thing I want to mention is the small group kickoff next Sunday. You want to be connected with that. Pastor Steve and I are going to be meeting and fine-tuning things after service today, but there's also going to be, most importantly, if you're interested in leading a group, you can do that. We'll show you how. See Pastor Steve immediately following the service. And let me just take this opportunity right here to say that if you're not in-house, but you're watching online and you're in the Charlotte area, we would love to connect with you. If you're not connected in good relationship, healthy relationship with people, we would encourage you to come and be a part of this small group action that's happening here at Cross Point. Get connected. You don't have to be a member here. You don't even have to attend here to be a part of one of our small groups. We would love to get you connected. Go online. Check all that out. Love to be you to be a part. Appreciate Pastor Steve and his leadership. Come on, give it up for Pastor Steve. He always does a phenomenal job. I think we're entering into what? Our 14th semester here at Cross Point of small groups. And I'm telling you, your life will change when you get in good relationships and encouraging one another. That's the way God designed this thing. And we can't do it alone. We need each other. So I want to encourage you with that. Okay, everybody? So let's jump right into this series that we're doing called Be Strong. The thought of this is that as we begin this new year, we want to not begin half-heartedly kind of crawling into the new year, but no, we're going to start from a position of strength. In fact, the Bible teaches us that in our walk with God, we come from a standpoint of strength. Now, in and of ourselves, we are weak. Yes, we are. But God is strong, and God comes and lives on the inside, and He changes all that. And now we walk in the strength of the Lord. Let's pick it up from Joshua, our theme verse. And there's some message notes there that you can look at there in your worship guide. And if you're watching online, you can download those off of our website and join with us. Joshua 1 and 7 says this. It begins with these words, be strong. Everybody say that. Be strong. And then it says, and be very courageous. And then it goes on to say, be careful to obey the law, that you may be successful wherever you go. Ephesians, a New Testament translation, New Covenant translation of this, really parallels this. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, finally, look at this, be strong. And then he tells us how, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. And so as we look at the areas of which we're trying to become stronger in, 1 Thessalonians really does a great job of breaking this down. Chapter 5 says this, may God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So those three areas we are looking at, spirit, soul, and body. Week 1 we talked about in spirit. If you missed that, that message is archived online. You can get that and catch up on that. Also, then last week we talked about what it means to be strong in soul. And then today we're going to talk about in body, how to be strong in body. We do know that these areas, one will affect the other, but we do know that each one of them wants to be in charge. But what will happen for you in a very positive way, and that is if the spirit, that part that God dwells in, that part that God redeems, that part that lives forever is in charge, I'm telling you, the other two will come in line with that, and that soul part, meaning our emotions, our feelings, the body part, which we're going to talk about today, our physical part of us, but it's more than just physical. It's actually that craving of the flesh that wants its own ways. We encounter that during fasting time, don't we? Right? You know, every commercial comes on TV is meat. My dad told me last night, talking to him, he lives in Orlando, and I was talking last night, and So I don't know why I asked these questions. What'd you have for supper? A roast beef with potatoes and carrots on the side and all. And I'm like, thanks for sharing that. I appreciate that. But anyway, but our body has these cravings. We're going to talk about how we deal with that. And then it goes on. That next scripture tells us the key to it. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. So it's not just up to us and us making decisions. Our decisions will come and go. We know that with New Year's resolutions. But when we get God involved in it, that's when we will actually succeed. So let's look at this topic of being strong in body. And here's what we're going to do today. We're going to start out on the shallow end of the pool, okay? But step by step, we're going to go deeper. And so I believe that the Bible calls us into some deep things. We're going to confront some things, and we're going to talk about what the Bible has to say about those things. And honestly, I believe the devil doesn't want us to go deep, because I've encountered some spiritual warfare in preparing for this. But I want to tell you, I believe that we're going to confront it head on, and God has some life-giving things that he wants to say to us, and I believe life's going to get better for us. Amen? And so let's start out in the shallow end. So we'll just stick our toes in and kind of wade out into the water just a little bit. It's warm. It's okay. It's fine. But when we look at the body, we think about the body. We think about the fact that we are physical beings, and yes, we do need to take better care of our body. A good reason for that. We're going to talk about that in a moment, but that's because our body is where God lives. But our body, we need to take better care of that. Actually, I heard of an elderly person who said, you know, if I'd known I was going to live this long, I'd have taken better care of myself, you know, because you get there and then you've made some bad decisions and then you pay for it later, right? Anybody in my age bracket can give me a good amen right there. Okay. And so, in fact, Israel, when they came out of bondage, it was said that in Deuteronomy that there was not one feeble among them. Isn't that cool? In that whole nation that made that mass exodus out of bondage, out of Egypt, there was not one feeble among them because they had followed God's laws and God's principles. I think it should be said of us today. It shouldn't be said as an indictment against us that Christians are the most unhealthy people on the earth. Actually, I think it should be the opposite. I think Christians should be the healthiest people on the face of the planet. I think we should be the ones setting an example and saying, this is what it looks like when you follow Christ. Amen? And so so the practical things, you know these. I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. That means we need to eat healthy. We need to make right choices. So after 21 days, let's continue to eat some good things, make good choices as we go back into maybe eating some things we haven't eaten in a while. We need to get proper exercise. We know these things. We need to get good rest. Sometimes we undervalue rest and think, well, I just need to burn the candle at both ends, which I've said before, you've heard me say, the one that burns the candle at both ends, you're not as bright as you think you are. One of the things that we, I think, have violated probably more than any other thing is a Sabbath, the principle of the Sabbath. And that doesn't necessarily have to be on a Sunday, but sometimes you need to have a day of rest. You need to have a day, because that's the way God designed it, 6 days work and 7 days rest. Of course, I'm for the three-day work week myself, but God said 6 days. I'm just saying. But he did say that we need to rest. Amen? We need to get rest. And so those are some things. And so we could splash around in there for a while in the shallow end. And although those things may not necessarily be that shallow, because actually those are some serious areas that perhaps we need to seriously consider and address. But I do want us to go a little bit deeper. So let's go a little bit deeper. When we go deeper, we see that the body, it has cravings beyond food. There's some carnal cravings that it has. And we know that, again, one part of us will affect the other part. So look with me in your notes there and on the screen here, Romans chapter 7, what it says about this in verse 21. It says, so I find this law, Paul says, at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. Though that scripture right there could probably be our theme verse for a lot of us. We want to do good, but there's a dilemma. Every time I want to do good, I don't do good. I do what's wrong. And so it affects us. And then he goes on to say, for in my inner being, I delight in God's law. So there's a part of me that wants to do right. There's a part of me that wants to be after God and delights in God's law. But I see another law at work in my members. I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me, now look at this, a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. So there's a war going on right there. And so there's a war going on within my members, and I'm actually a prisoner. I don't know how to change this. And so I'm imprisoned by this. I want to dedicate this message to those who want to live the right life, but for some reason you feel imprisoned. And all of us have these areas where we're weakened and we are in prison. And so look what it goes on to say in verse 24. It says, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death is what Paul calls it there. You know, this week I actually heard or saw a tweet regarding Michael Phelps. I don't know if any of you saw that. But Michael Phelps, you know, he's the Olympian swimmer that is just absolutely phenomenal. He's won 23 gold medals in his career. And 28 total overall medals. And this guy, I mean, I've seen them analyze his body, like his feet. I mean, everything is just designed for swimming. And swimming is just one of those all-around sports. You just got to be healthy from head to toe. And here's a guy healthy in his body, but yet he came out and said that he has been struggling with depression. And even at the height of his career of success, he had suicidal thoughts because something else was going on inside of him. And I just think we need to consider that. All of us deal with these areas. And the goal, though, is that we can be free. There's some areas that we're going to talk about today. And I want you to give me a clean canvas and an open mind and an open heart to God's Word and just consider some things, okay? So these are some serious things, but the Bible does deal with them. And actually, the goal is not to point them out, okay? But the goal is to find freedom. Can I get a good amen? All right? Number one, write this down. Addiction. Addiction. How many would say I'm an addict? I mean, how many would actually, you don't need to do this, but how many would raise their hand and say I'm an addict? But actually, it may involve not just a few of us, it may involve all of us, because really the definition of an addiction or being an addict is that I'm addicted to anything, or it's anything I don't want to do that I keep on doing. I think that would probably be all of us. Hello, I'm Pastor Theron and I'm an addict. I'm just saying. I mean, there's some things that I don't want to do, but I find myself doing them. And all of us face addiction in some form. And there's an area that's telling us how we're going to live our life. And you say, well, I don't know if I have an addiction. Well, let me ask you some questions. So do you arrange your schedule around it? And are you working to keep it a secret? Here's another one. Is it isolating you from other people? How about this? Do people around you say you have a problem with it, whatever it is? And if you could stop, could you stop over the next 6 days? So what could it be in your life? Is there something in your life? And it could be a host of things. It could be gambling. It could be overspending. It could be lust. It could be alcoholism. It could be anything that you can't stop. I want to encourage you that God wants to be involved in your battle. Let me give you a scripture for this. It's found in Romans chapter 6 and verse 12. It says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God, for sin shall not be your master. So I want you to think about this week. What is that area in your life that you need freedom in? So it could be any kind of addiction. So let's go a little bit deeper in the water. Okay, everybody ready? All right, it's okay. You got your floaties on? All right, okay. So let's go a little bit deeper. And And number two, write this word down, and that's the word debauchery. Debauchery. Now, that's a heavy term, but I use that because that's actually the term that's used in Scripture. And what it simply means, it's an extreme indulgence in sensuality. In other words, it's letting your senses call the shots. And so, right here, what I want to do, I'm going to address, you know, those that are 30 years and younger, okay? Because if you were probably older than that, you're probably raised with a set of some moral absolutes. In other words, you live according to your convictions, not according to your feelings. But that is not the case with the younger generation. We're even told there's no ultimate truth. There's no absolutes in life. It's just all up to you and your truth, not the truth. Let me tell you something. There is an ultimate truth. Amen? Even Jesus, when he stood before Pilate one day, Pilate said, "What is truth?" But Jesus had already answered that. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." There is a truth. There is a standard. There is a way that God has called us to live. And when God calls us to live in that way, it's not something to put us in prison. It's actually something to free us so that we can live life how God intended us to live it in the fullness and the joyfulness of life that God had designed it to be. Amen? Some years ago, President Ronald Reagan's wife, Nancy Reagan, actually was taking some campaign leadership in addressing some things in our nation. And if you'll remember, she had the anti-drug campaign. Remember that? Then she had the anti-alcohol campaign. In fact, she even eventually had the anti-premarital sex campaign. Just say no. You remember that? Just say no. But we're in a generation that when you come face to face with what you want to do, you just kind of let your feelings guide you. But yet, in a previous generation, it was when you come face to face with something you want to do, and you have these absolutes in your life, those things take over at that point. So you just say no. When you get there, you have some facts over your feelings. And now, let me just say, that's not the mantra for today. That's not the mantra. No, it's quite different today. Today is just be yourself. And we're told if that's what you feel, then that's who you are. Just go with it. So I just want to say to those of the younger generation, to students at UNC Charlotte, to students that may be watching today, don't listen to the message of today to listen to your feelings. That whatever your feelings are, that's your life and that's who you are. Let me tell you, your feelings will mess you up. Hey, if I followed my feelings, I wouldn't be your pastor. Just saying, right? We're not led by our feelings. We don't follow feelings. We follow truth. Come on, somebody. Are you out there? You still with me? Hang on. I know it's deep. We follow truth. We follow some moral absolutes. We have some convictions. The world says that you can trust your feelings. Your feelings can be trusted. Oh, no, they can't. You can't trust your feelings. You can't live your life by your feelings. We live in a debaucherous society, indulging in sensuality actually all the time. And some of the things we put into our bodies create this. Let me give you a scripture that bears that out. Ephesians chapter 5 and 18 says, "Do not get drunk on wine," look at that, "which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." So here's what I'm saying as a pastor that cares about you and loves you. Be careful about what you consume that dulls your senses. Amen? Everybody still with me? Now, I know I'm on a touchy territory. I don't even know if I can feel bottom right here, okay? But we need to hear what the Word of God says, and let me encourage you in this area. I feel a little tension, so let me just lighten it up a little bit. You heard about the preacher who was up preaching, and he said, "If I had all the beer in the world, I'd pour it in the river. If I had all the whiskey in the world, I'd pour it in the river. If I had all the wine and all the liquor in the world, I'd pour it in the river." And he got through preaching, and the minister of music came up to conclude the service, and he said, "Turn to page 434 and let us sing. Let us all gather at the river." Got to have a little laughter. All right. You like that one? Let me give you one more. Okay, so there was two guys that drank too much, and they were heading out of this restaurant, and they didn't know where they were going. You know, you've seen the scene. They here they are, the two guys are hanging on to each other, and instead of going to the right to the parking lot, they go to the left to the railroad track, okay? And they're going down the railroad track, and they've been at it for about 20 minutes, and one guy says, I'm telling you, this is the longest set of steps I've ever seen, of stairs, staircase that I've ever seen in my life. You know, railroad track, right? You with me? And the other one says, well, I don't mind the stairs so much. It's that low handrail that's giving me the devil. Okay. But in all seriousness, I plead with you to be careful of doing anything that dulls your senses. Not only will it dull your senses, but it will damage your witness. Because we are all leading others, and there's influence that we have. There is, let's be honest about this, folks. Alcohol is, there is an association with the world and not with the church. All right? There is an association there. And the Bible does speak to that, and we could spend a whole topic, whole day on that. It even talks about when you look at the wine and it's red and its color and it turns itself aright, that at last it bites like a serpent. That's a message for another day, but it's talking about it being in its fermented state. Don't look at it. Don't get near it. We need to be careful of that. I saw a tweet by Jonathan Falwell just a couple weeks ago that I thought spoke very well to this. And here's what he said. He said, I'm burdened over many good people who are buying into the idea that alcohol is okay. And then he says, I have never met a family that has been made better or stronger by the use of alcohol, but I have ministered to scores of families that have been destroyed by it. Best plan, stay away. And I could feel the pushback. But here's what I would say. The issue is not whether it is sin or not, not whether you're going to go to hell or not. That's not the issue. Paul actually said there's many things that are lawful, but they're not beneficial. The thing is, it has the potential. This is some extra notes for you. Just want to kind of sort of qualify this topic, okay? It has the potential, look at this, to destroy me. It has the potential to destroy me. 1 Corinthians 6 and 12, he puts it this way. Paul says, I have the right to do anything you say. Well, I have the right to do that, Pastor. Now you're just going too far. You're just preaching your opinion, not the word. Well, but Paul addressed this. He said, you say, I have the right to do anything you say, but not everything is beneficial. One version says it's permissible, but it's not going to be healthy for you, okay? And he says, I have the right to do anything, but I will not be, look at this, mastered by anything. In other words, become enslaved. And it can be a slippery slope, okay? Another area that has a potential of doing it has a potential of enslaving you, enslaving me. It will dilute my witness. It will dilute my witness. 2 Corinthians 8 and 21 says, for we are taking pains to do what is right. Look at this, not only in the eyes of the Lord, but also in the eyes of man. And I've heard defensiveness about this topic. Well, what about food, Pastor? People overindulge in that. True, true. I will say you do have to eat, but you do not have to drink. Y'all still love me? I'm just trying to encourage you. So we just need to be, careful. I'm going to encourage you. For me, my choice, I'm just going to share with you as a pastor, my choice. My choice is that I have chosen to abstain from it. And I thank God I was raised in a Christian home where we didn't drink. That just wasn't our culture. I know everybody comes from a different culture, different background. I understand that. I'm thankful that I never have tasted alcohol and don't ever intend to. Oh, Pastor, come on now. Y'all being legalistic. Can I tell you, my life is just fine without it. Here's what I know. If I never take that first drink, my marriage will never fall apart from alcoholism. If I never take that first drink, I will never have a DUI, DWI, whatever they call it. If I never take that first drink, I'm never going to die of cirrhosis of the liver from alcoholism. I mean, I could go down the list. There's a whole bunch if I never take that first drink. Now you say, well, Pastor, we have. I understand, and I'm not trying to condemn you, but I am trying to say, listen, there are choices we have in life, and I'm just saying, be careful. I'm pleading with you as a pastor. Be careful of consuming anything that would dull your senses. And be careful about following your feelings. Feelings can't be trusted. Come on. Choices lead. Feelings follow. Okay? Anybody ready to go deeper? All right, let's go deeper. Let me give you the next one. Number three here. Sexual immorality. And again, that's the term that the Scripture uses. And the Bible is very vocal on this topic of sexual immorality. These are two words that are in our English language, but in the Greek, it comes from a translation of a Greek word that's actually one word, and that word is porneia, porneia. And it's where we get the word pornography. It doesn't mean pornography, but that's where we get the word from. But actually what that word means is all sexual sin outside of marriage. It's all sex outside of marriage. And by the way, marriage is defined by God, not government. Boy, it's quiet in here. Can I get a good amen? Come on, you cannot unwrite what God has already written. Government can do what they want to do, but I'm telling you what the Bible says. That's my job, okay? I'm not the president, I'm the pastor, okay? I'm just saying. So, and here's what I'm trying to say. I'm not picking on any group. This confronts all of us because it's any sexual sin outside of marriage that's lust, that's pornography, that's cohabitating, that's premarital sex, that's hetero, that's homosexual. It's all sex outside of the bonds of marriage. And marriage is between one man and one woman, and that's how God designed it. And that's God's definition of marriage. And can I just be honest? The Bible is not unclear about this topic. And that's the reason. So I want you to all understand that we don't isolate one group. That is all of us. Okay? Come on, give me a good amen or something there. You know, I'll amen myself because I'm preaching the truth. So we need to be careful with that. All of us need to know that sexual immorality outside of the bonds of marriage, it will destroy us. That's not the way God designed it. And you say, well, why? What difference does it make what I do by myself? Maybe when I'm looking at it, when I'm clicking on it, it doesn't bother anybody. Let me give you a scripture. It's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 that says, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ Himself? I mean, perhaps we didn't know. We didn't realize. We didn't, you know, we thought the church was what was holy and what was where Christ resides. But no, He says that our bodies are members of Christ Himself. Therefore, shall I take the members of Christ, and look at this, unite them with a prostitute? Never. And let me just qualify this. This was actually, Paul was preaching to a culture that actually, in that society, worshiped their God through temple prostitution. And they thought that God just dwelt in buildings. But no, he was saying, no, actually, He dwells in you, and when you do this, you unite. And that word unite is a strong word if you look at the translation of that. And what that really means is to permanently fuse at the deepest level. There's something more going on than the act itself. And the world wants to make you think that it's an isolated event. It's recreational. Come on. It was spring break, Pastor. I didn't even know her name. It made no difference at all. But actually, it did matter, because what you didn't realize is that you left a part of yourself with them, and they left a part of themselves with you. There was something that happened at the deepest level where you were permanently infused. Something that happened. There's a fusion that happens at the deepest level because that's the way God created the process. And it says that you're one with her. So it's not just physical. It's actually, listen to this, folks, it's actually something God put into this process. There was a soul bond. I actually, when I talk to couples doing premarital counseling, and by the way, this is kind of a PG. I should have said this at the beginning. I got that top of my notes, and I forgot to mention that. It's kind of a PG. At this point, it's a PG message, okay? PG-13 message. So if you're watching online, but here's the thing. When I counsel couples in premarital counseling, I talk about the fact that this area is actually very, very spiritual. Because just consider this for a moment. A marriage as God intended it to be in its purest of form, when that marriage is consummated, there's something that happens. And I'm just going to be honest. I'm just going to be very candid, okay? There's a shedding of blood that happens because now you're in covenant. You're one. Can I tell you that the Bible describes that we are the bride and Christ is the groom? And that we are married, and he and Paul actually, when he talks about the marriage and how that should operate, he says, actually, I'm not even talking about the marriage. I'm talking about Christ and his church. It is a spiritual union, but do you know what consummated the deal? You know what unified us? It was when Jesus Christ went to the cross and shed his precious blood for us. There was a shedding of his blood, and by us receiving that, appropriating it to our life through faith in him, we are now bonded to him and unified to him. Are you getting this? I mean, it's good stuff. I don't know about y'all, but I'm having a good time up here. All right. Although it's deep. It's deep. And I pray, God, help me to be life-giving with this. But I want you to consider, see, God did this on purpose, this soul bond that happens in that process. And I actually, here's what I think. I think he did that to help you married people out, right? Right? Because, listen, your sex life needs to stay healthy, because when your sex life stays healthy, your marriage is going to be strong. It's more than something that is pleasurable. Pleasure was added to it for a benefit, but it was put there as a soul bonding that would take place to make you strong as a unit, as one flesh. Amen? So look what that scripture says. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said, and he went all the way back to Genesis, where the first mention of marriage is talked about, the two will become one flesh. So it's not just physical, it's emotional. And if you don't believe me, you don't believe it, it's emotional, talk to someone who's either been raped or abused. And they'll tell you it was more than physical, it's a permanent fusing at the deepest level. Well, all that doesn't sound very encouraging, does it? But for most of us, unknowingly, or some of us knowingly, have engaged in that, permanently infusing ourselves, perhaps with a computer screen or whatever it is for you. And there's been our soul's been tied to that happening or whatever it is in so many ways. But the good news is, listen, everybody, the good news is the Bible has solutions that God always offers a fresh start, and he will do for those who are willing to follow his ways. And when we get God involved, listen to this. He doesn't just forgive us, he cleanses us. He doesn't just cover the thing, he actually washes it as far as the east is from the west. That is good news, everybody. You could start over. Bible calls it being, actually says there's something called being born again. I mean, that's just starting all over, isn't it? That's a do-over. And so God offers that to us. So how do we do this? Let me give you this point. Number one, look at this. I'm going to give you some hope. Page 2, come on, everybody. Be holy. Be holy. Let me give you a scripture that leads up to the one you've got there in your notes. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality. And that word sanctified doesn't mean, what it really means, it means set apart, set apart. 1 Thessalonians, then the next verse, verse 4 says this, that each of you should learn, so we need to learn something, we need to learn, okay? So this is that God wants to be restrictive on your life and have this painful life. No, it's life-giving. Everything, every command that the Bible has for us, none of them were written for him. Every one of them was written for you. His laws, his word, the Bible was written for you. And he says everyone should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy. And again, that word doesn't mean perfect. That actually means to be separate. You're going to separate yourself. You're going to be different and honorable. Not in passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God. So let me give you three ways very quickly. Write these down. Number one, get away from it. Get away from it. In other words, physically remove yourself from the proximity of it, whatever it is. So if you need to, if there's some, you know, you say, well, I can't help it. We work together. Get a new job. Well, I can't get a new job. There's not anymore. Go to a new city. Move. Whatever it takes. It's not worth your soul. I don't know who I'm speaking to here, but I'm just saying. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Everybody says the grass is greener on the other side, right? When you know the water bill's higher on the other side, okay? Let me tell you how you keep the grass greener. Where you are, water it. Water it. Amen? Right? So what that looks like, whoever, you know, you're watching online or you're here in person, listen, if there's some relationship that's not right, text that person. It's over. And then block them, okay? Block them. Defriend them. Whatever, okay? Get away from it. First Corinthians is very clear about this. In chapter 6, it says this. Flee, that means flee from sexual immorality. Don't mess around with this one. This one's different. This one's different. It says all other sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. So run from it. And then he goes on to say, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? He's in his building. You say, well, I want to act right because I'm in church. Guess what? He's in you, so you need to act right in this temple. Come on, what would that look like? Who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. Look at that. You were bought with a price. Therefore, I love this, honor God with your body. So here's the thing. You don't manage sin. You get away from it. You don't say, I'm working on it. You cut ties and you run. I'm not trying to be hard this morning, church. I'm trying to save your life. I really am. And listen, if you're not a follower of Christ and you're saying, well, that's just too harsh. I don't know if I can do that. I have a right to do what I want to do. Well, actually, you're right. You do. But for those of us that follow Christ, we don't have a right. You see, I accepted a deal a long time ago with God. Because I had all this sin in my life. And there's a way that you pay for sin. The place you go to pay for your sin is a place called hell. Hell isn't a place where people go because God's mad at you. Hell's a place where you go to pay for your sins. But here's the deal. Why would you want to do that when Jesus has already paid for your sins for you? He's already paid for them. So here's the deal. Jesus said, I'll pay for your sin. All I ask for is one thing from you, and that is that you belong to me. So you no longer make decisions based on what you think is best for you. You make your decisions based on what I want for you, and my will is for you. And the cool thing about that is God always wants the best for me. Isn't that great? So, I don't belong to Theron. I belong to God. I'm not my own. I was bought with a price. So, it's not up to me to choose and decide what I will and will not do. Listen, I'm going to follow Christ. And by the way, I'm not trying to get as close to the world as I can and make it to heaven. I want to get as close to God because that's where the ride is the most fun. Come on. That's where it's enjoyable. You're not going to be free. You're not going to be enjoy life. You're always going to have drama and all kind of tragedy and everything always happening in your life because you're trying to straddle the fence. And the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We need to make up our mind. I'm following Jesus. The world behind me, the cross before me. Come on, it doesn't matter what they're doing to left or right. That's what this theme verse says. Be careful. We've already covered that. What you do, don't turn from it to the right or left. But come on, follow the Lord in all your ways. Amen? And when they didn't, when Israel didn't, they got into bondage, didn't they, right? Are you with me? Okay. So, and by the way, Christianity is not about just joining this church. I hope that you do. If you're in this area, you're watching online, I hope you come. Be a part of us. You need to be in a good church. I hope you do. But going to church is not salvation. It's a good thing to do. Salvation is when you give control of your life over to a new owner. I was bought with a price, the cross, and he died so that I wouldn't have to. And now I don't have to pay for my sins because he's already paid for my sins, right? So get away from it. Number two, write this down. Guard my mind. I'm going to guard my mind. It all starts in the mind. And you say, well, you know, the movie only had one bad part in it. You know, it went by really fast. Or that video, you know, that, you know, it cuts off 40 heads a minute, you know, but that violent video, but I play, but that video game, but it doesn't bother me. Well, that might be the problem. It doesn't bother you. We've just so desensitized our life. Like one friend, he asked his mom, said, "Mom, can I have some friends over and watch this movie? It's not, you know, it's got a bad part in it, but it goes by pretty fast, Mom. But and so she says, "Sure." "And really? I can watch that?" "Yeah. In fact, I'll make your favorite brownies for you." "Really? You do that?" "Yeah, sure." So she goes in the kitchen and she starts to make the brownies, and then she goes out into the yard, and she goes out there where the poodle dog is pooped, okay? Yes, I said that, sorry, in church. And she gets a little bit, you know, where the dog did his business, and he brings it in, and she mixes it just a little bit, you know, just a little bit, and mixes it into the brownies, and she serves them, you know. Well, you know, it's just a little bit. The rest of it's really good. It won't harm you, right? I was going to wake up some of y'all. A little poop goes a long way, right? I'm just saying. Yeah, I'm just. It's going to affect you, right? I'm just trying to lead you, folks, okay? Maybe I'm not using the best analogy there. But we need the Holy Spirit to come and fill our life. I'm just trying to pass. And this, by the way, you don't need me as a pastor to give you a list, okay? You got the Holy Spirit and you've got the Bible. But here's what I'm trying to do this morning. I'm trying to lead you to a place where you realize it's affecting you more than you think it is. And all the devil needs is a little part, is a little piece. I don't know about you, but I'm not eating the brownie. You hear me? I'm not eating the brownie. Matthew, and how does it happen? How does this happen? How does it come into our mind? Matthew 6 and 22 says this: "The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness." So it starts not at the decision point, but it starts at the entry point. Romans 8 and 5 says this: "Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things." In other words, it comes in your eye and you begin to think about it. It's not that some people have got it together and you don't. Some people are living better than you because, you know, it's not that, you know, why can some people live such godly lives? I just can't seem to get there. It's not that they're better people. They just think better. Are you hearing me? Here's what it says: "Those who are dominated by a sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit." It's giving our life over to God. And this next point I'm very passionate about, because the Bible, when the Bible presents an answer to a problem, it doesn't say, here's the way the Bible doesn't do it this way. It doesn't say, "Stop, stop, 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 don't, stop, don't, stop, don't, stop it, don't, stop." No, the Bible actually presents not just the stopping as the solution, but it actually presents us with a better alternative. Well, the scripture we read about don't be drunk with wine, what does it go on to say? But be filled with the Spirit. Come on. You don't need the bottle. You don't need to drink from the bottle. You need to drink from the well. Come on. And here's the deal. Sin will lose its attractiveness when you find something better. I mean, it's true. The closer you get to God, this stuff will just melt off of you. When the closer you get to God and let this stuff go and get away from it and follow God fully, go. Listen, that stuff is going to, it's going to lose its attraction. The reason I don't commit adultery is not because there's a verse in the Bible that says don't commit adultery. The reason I don't commit adultery is because I'm so in love with Kim. I'm in love with her. Why do I want anybody else? She's the love of my life. She called me the other day. I answered the phone. I said, "Hello, you most beautiful woman in the world. You are the love of my life. You're the most beautiful person on the face of the planet. In this entire universe." I mean, I just went on and on and on. Finally, when I caught my breath, she said, "Have you been drinking caffeine or what's it?" Nope. So I'm not forcing myself to do something. I'm not forcing myself to stop doing something just to stop. I'm in love. I don't have to force myself not to do something bad. I'm in love. And when you find something better than sin, sin will lose its attractiveness. That's the reason why the key to being strong in this area is this. Write this one down. Go all in with God. Don't just stick your toe or your hand in the water. Come on, go all in with God. It's the motivation that we're serving God. We love Him, and that's why we just want to live right for Him, because we're in love with Him. We need something bigger than ourselves. You're a motivation for me, for me, because I know I got to live right because I'm pastoring you. I'm setting an example. I'm leading the way. I need to be in right relationship with God because I have something worth living for. It's you. It's why you and I go to work each day, because we got kids at home and a family that we love and that we want to support because we're in love with them, not because we just necessarily enjoy particularly what we're doing, and I hope that you do, but the motivation is because it's providing something for you. Come on. It's why, can I just tell you this? It's why we go to church on Sundays. It's not because, well, I just want to go see if the pastor's any good today or the singing any good today or, you know, get something out of it. I think I need something. And then other days say, well, I really don't need anything today. I'll be all right today. I'm good today. No, it's not about us. It's about the fact that there's other people there that we're going to be serving and we're going to be helping. We're going to be encouraging the motivation. And I wonder how many people go to church out of self-motivation or motivation because there's other people that they care about and they love, and that gets them to church. Come on, everybody. Is this good preaching or what? Right? Amen? Oh, it's amen myself. Okay. So, I mean, really. And yes, we do go at times. There's times where we need to receive and be healed, and I get all that. But I'm telling you, the motivation needs to be others. So go all in. Romans chapter 6 and verse 13 says, "Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead," look at this, "give yourself completely to God in every area." This is not about legalism, by the way. If that word has popped in your brain, this is not about legalism. This is about love. It's about we're in love with God. I love my kids so much, I do believe I would give my life for them. Or my wife. I would give my life for them. I love them. In other words, I would abandon anything. I would let anything else go to provide for them, to take care of them. Can I tell you, we need to have that relationship with God. 1 Corinthians teaches us this principle about athletes who train for a race. And you can read it there yourself, but how that we discipline our body. Discipline our body. That's why we provide the growth track. We want to get you something bigger in your life than your problems. So today is step 3. I want to encourage you. Find your unique abilities. Let us help you take you through that. I'm going to tell you something. The happiest people I know, people not necessarily good with self-control, but they've just got their eyes on the prize, something worth living for. The growth track won't make you perfect, but it will get you more focused. And I know, I've touched on a lot of painful areas. But the goal is, I'm sincere, the goal is that you find freedom on the inside. What will you do? What decisions, what choices will you make? Would you allow the Holy Spirit just to speak to you right now? And say, "Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me, and what do I need to do?" That blank's for you. You can fill it out now, or you can fill it out later, that last blank. I will what? But would you allow the Holy Spirit, come on, let's just bow our heads, close our eyes. Holy Spirit, search me. Try me. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Our heads are bowed, and eyes are closed. Maybe you're saying, "That's me that you're describing. I've been calling my own shots and it's not working out too well, and I need to give control to God. I've been taking charge. I've been driving this thing and it's not working, and I'm ready to give the wheel over to God and let Him direct my life. I need His direction. I need His peace. I want to lead you in a prayer." It may be that you are coming to God for the first time, giving Him control, or perhaps you've just kind of over the years taken control back yourself, and there's some areas in your life that needs to be fully surrendered to God. But today you're saying, "I need to do that. I'm ready to surrender." I want to lead you in a prayer, whether you're here live or watching online. I want to lead you in a prayer. But if that's you, can you just pray a prayer like this, just from your heart? Just say, God. Come on, everybody, just pray it for support of those that need to pray it. Just say, God, today, I come to you. I need you. Forgive me for going my way, following my feelings instead of following you. Today, I give you control of my life. I thank you for taking care of all my mistakes and all of my sins. Please forgive me. I come to you. I invite you to come in. Cleanse me. Give me a do-over. I give you my life. Thank you, Jesus, for taking care of everything and giving me a new heart. With all of my heart, I will follow you as you help me. Lord, I thank you for every person who just prayed that prayer and needed to pray it. I pray, God, you would guide them step by step, day by day, as now they follow you. And Holy Spirit, we invite you to come in. Fill us. Fill us. Fill us. Fill us with your presence, God. Fill us with your peace. Jesus, you said you give a peace that this world doesn't give, God. So everything we've tried to chase and follow, try to fill our life with, will never compare to what you offer. So today we accept your peace. We accept your strength. In this area of our life, we pray you come in and you strengthen us and you take charge and guide us so that we can be free indeed and enjoy this life how you intended us to live it, God, to the full. Thank you for life today. Thank you for life eternally, God. And God, we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.